Tri-City Tipsnet, calling the Tri-City Tipsnet. Good evening, and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tipsnet. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I'm located in the city of Groton, and I'm mobile. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is 146.97, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. Check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have questions for the net. We will ask for your questions after everyone has checked in. There are three sections to the TIPS net. First, the open net with rounds of questions and comments. The second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And thirdly, there is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communications should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," then release the mic button, and listen to ensure no one else has called at the same time you have. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically, along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or question. For instance, I would say, "This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I am in the city of Groton, and I'm also mobile." Okay, this is KC1DWR, and I'm your net control station for the evening. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. No questions at this time.
Good evening, this is Kilo Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf KA6PDG, Kevin in Norwich, and I'm thinking radio propagation tonight.
Propagation. Well, my first thought is I wish we had a little more of it. Because right now, in my opinion, in a totally non-technical manner, I think it stinks. It's horrible. And looking at the solar data for the last 30 days, the sunspot cycles are, well, they had a little peak back in about the 24th of June. They got up above 20, and then a couple days a little bit below that. And the rest of it's been right at zero. And I guess I'm glad that it can't go negative, because it probably would be. So I'm waiting for this big solar cycle to come around, hopefully, and life will be good again. But right now, again, as I mentioned, propagation stinks. There are times when you can work somewhere else, and I have, particularly some of the digital modes, but I'm trying to work somebody on 40 meters right now, phone, it's rough, to say, to put it mildly. Back to net, K1DCT.
Well, those are good comments, Dave. And before I forget, I did overhear you and WA1DD chatting earlier about the 13 colonies, and K2D I know was being partially manned on FT8 by Bob K1RMN earlier. So if you had a FT8 contact about the 13 colonies with K2D, that probably was Bob K1RMN. Yeah, the solar, I guess I picked the wrong time to get into this hobby. Getting my license about 5 years ago as we were approaching solar minimum. And my understanding is that this, we're not talking a one-year cycle. This is a multi-year cycle. And last I think I saw, I think that there was a, it wasn't a set number of years. I guess that, at least that's my understanding of it. The cycle does have some variousness to the length of it, or maybe I'm mistaken, maybe it was the strength of it, so in which case I hope we get a strong one coming up. But we'll go ahead and see what Kevin thinks on the subject, and he'll hopefully correct me on the strength or the duration of the events, and I will learn a lesson. KA6PDG, KC1TWR.
I don't think anybody knows right now from what I've read, but I'm not as well read on the subject as some. Usually it's an 11-year cycle, but every once in a while the sun does sun things, and I think we're, and Dave's probably smarter on this, but or a lot of people, because I just, sometimes I'll come across a headline or whatever. I know the 11th cycle thing is the norm, but I seem to be reading a lot from non-ham science sources, too, that everybody's kind of surprised at how quiet the sunspots have been and so forth. It's not a subject I'm an expert on, but it's a subject I'm curious about. The other thing, and this is KA6PDG, let me reset. And Dave just reminded me of this, is that hams are always whining about propagation, going on and on and on about how terrible the bands are. Only this time Dave's right. Although I think it seems like since around a week or two before field day, it seems like things have been better. But again, I don't have HF at the moment, so waiting to put my antennas up. And I'm thinking maybe that's why the bands have been so bad, is because I'm not on them. No, that's probably not the answer. But when I was thinking of radio propagation, I was also thinking about if and maybe we'll get some more folks on the net. Folks have questions about some phenomena they've observed or some question about propagation. Remember, propagation is not just on HF. Obviously, although VHF, UHF, probably the most degree, 6 meters is usually more constant than HF, which tends to fluctuate a lot with various conditions, most especially the sun. But I was also thinking about, has anybody heard or observed something that they didn't understand that maybe somebody on the net could help them explain? One I thought of, and I'll be super quick because I'm talking a lot here, is when you hear a reverb, I'm not going to call it an echo because that's a different phenomena. An echo would be like, that would be an echo, but I'm talking about reverb, which you hear a guy talking and he sounds like he's in the public restroom at Grand Central Station. There's kind of that sound of a large room. And once in a while you hear that on an HF signal. My thinking is that that's multipath, but somebody like Dave could answer that question for me. But just general propagation stuff, and I'll be quiet now. K6PDG.
Well, that's an interesting concept, and I don't know. I've heard all kinds of different chatters and all kinds of different interferences and what have you. And some propagation where signals went a lot further than intended. But I don't know. That's a good question. I'm going to do a quick call out, and we'll go back to the top of the list. This is KC1TWR with the TIPSnet. If there's any further check-ins that would like to check in at this time, please call now.
Here is Kilo 1, Romeo, Mike November, Bob in Montville. No question.
It recognizes Bob, K1RMN. Further check-ins, please call now. Okay, well, Bob, I'll give you, as they say, instant service. I don't know how long you've been listening. We started talking about radio propagation, and then we talked about the sun cycle and how, as Dave said, if we got any worse, we'd be in the negative numbers. And hopefully you heard some of what Kevin was talking about. Any comments before we go to the top of the list? K1RMN, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is K1RMN. Propagation is always an interesting discussion. There are so many factors involved in what could cause problems, talking about your echo sounds and your reverb sound. On the digital side of communications, when you get those effects, it usually is missing packets. And the fact that it is squared off, the waveform itself is squared off and not rounded, which is why we all sound a little bit different on the digital side of things. On the other side of things, again, there's so many things, the sun conditions, atmospheric conditions, too many to talk about. I didn't catch much of it, but Kevin got us started. I'll send it back to Net. K1RMN.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah, propagation. It's a funny thing. But, I am very thankful, Dave, as you pointed out, there was a little blip of towards the positive side of the scale around June 24th or so, which was around field day. Because field day, other than 80 meter, I was pretty well surprised how well we were doing with 20 and 40. So that was pleasant. That was very good. Okay, we're at the top of the list. Dave, you've heard quite a bit of discussion here. Any comments? K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, well, yeah. Yes, we all like to complain about how bad the propagation is. I guess the flip side of that is, just wait till there's a contest. know, a big contest, like, you know, QSO party, North American QSO party, whether it's phone, digital, teletype, and all of a sudden, the propagation works fine. So, and field day, you know, all of a sudden, oh yes, the signals. But, you know, talking about field day, I did notice it was, I normally operate 40 meters on field day, and, you know, get New England and down the East Coast and that kind of stuff. And I had to drop down to 20 meters because 40 was, in my opinion, not cooperating. So, and as far as I know, it's an 11-year cycle. I haven't seen anything to the contrary. I can tell you the previous cycle back in where it peaked, like 2012 to maybe 2014. Those were, as I quote, the good years. They were not as good as the previous one, because I'm looking at the two previous, actually part of the third previous cycle. So it was, we got gypped on the last one. So I'm hoping for something big. So, you know, we're looking 2022 or three. You know, we ought to be on the upslope, but, not seeing a lot of that from the data, and I'm certainly no expert on propagation or interpreting this data, but it's got a picture, so I'm pretty good at looking at pictures. And let's see, what else? Oh, 13 colonies. Yes, I'm I've got 5 of the 13 so far, and I got one going here in the background on CW, so I'm trying to pick those off here. You got until Sunday, so just trying to get as many as I can. If I don't get them all, I'm not going to lose my mind or what's left of it, but just out here having some fun. Back to net, K1DCT.
Well, thank you, Dave, and good hunting, trying to capture more of the colonies there. Your comment about the fact that the last solar cycle didn't go as well into the propagation as previous ones makes me wonder if there's a harmonic or a, I had the words for it and I lost it, waves within a wave. In other words, a cycle within cycles. So it could be a sense that every third cycle might be more, fifth cycle might be more, something of that nature. Just like I've noticed down at the ocean, I don't know if it's just me, but I've noticed every seventh wave always seems to be a little bit bigger than the other six. Don't know why, not a clue. And, you know, of course, that's discounting waves that are caused by boats or ferries, etc. But I've noticed that every seventh wave always seems to be a little bit bigger than the other six. So maybe that's what we're hoping for, so that bigger propagation to be next in the works. So we'll hope for that. Okay, and with that, we'll go to Kevin and see what he can propagate for us for comments. K6PDG, KC1TWR.
Jim, thanks. Good evening to Bob and whoever else might be out there listening, and I will endeavor to not be quite as long-winded this time. But interesting, you said the thing about the every seventh wave, because it seems to me I heard back in school days, and yes, they did have school back in those days, that was a scientific fact. Every seventh wave, I think it was, is a little bit bigger, a little bit different, but I don't remember the reason why. So, let's see, did I have a note here? Yeah, no, Dave, everything you said was spot on, and I think possibly what can happen, too, is the cycle can be a little lopsided. So, you know, the peak might be off by a certain period, or unbalanced if you look at it on a graph. Anyway, what were you, trying to think what you had... waves within waves or cycles within cycles. Yeah, all the peaks are different. And people talk about back in the 70s, which is when I got into CB radio in a big way, and so did probably hundreds of thousands of other people. And that was sort of the heyday of CB radio, and the reason that that happened was largely because the sun was cooperating, and there was a high level of sunspot activity, as I understand it, and that's when you get a lot of skip or DX propagation, or whatever term you're comfortable with. Was there something else? No, I think I covered it. KA6PDG, back to net. Oh, yeah, one more and I'll do it quick. The thing that always has got me on HF is when we get thunderstorms going through here in Connecticut, it's always seemed to me that they get out to the east and they get over the ocean and out over the Gulf of Maine and stuff, and yet they're still, the static crashes are incredibly loud. It seems like they stay loud longer to the east of us when they're going away than when they're approaching. I don't know if anybody else has noticed that. All right, KA6PDG, back to that.
Well, that's an interesting comment about the crash, static crashes and so forth as storms go by. And my only thoughts on that, totally unscientific, not researched, guaranteed not to rip, wrinkle, or shrink when not used, is that when a storm is approaching, usually it's pushing something else out of the way, so it's kind of compressed. And once it goes past us, it's not being pushed by something else. It's leaving kind of trailing edges of some sort. So maybe that plays into it a little bit. But I don't know. That's a fair question. And, you know, as far as the cycles of propagation, I'll do some research on that, because they've been tracking this for quite a number of years, and I imagine by now if there was such a thing as a repetitive cycle like the seventh wave, that by now somebody would have figured that out. Okay, and after all this discussion, we'll come back to Bob now and see what he thinks about all this. K1RMN, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, K1RMN. Well, the seven-wave maxim has been around for a long time, and there's not a lot of proof about it, but apparently you're not the only one that sat down at the beach and counted waves. It seems to work like that. Propagation thing, again, so many things. Been having a lot of fun myself working at 13 colonies. I've got about 193 contacts so far, working FT8. Right now I am on 20 meters, and I'll be on 40 meters in another hour, and then later on tonight I'll be on 80 meters, trying to get as many contacts as I can help people get. And it is a lot of fun. I think that's about it, though. We'll send it back to you. This is K1RMN, back to net.
And I will mention again that you are helping the Connecticut team by putting that call sign out, KD2, or K2D, rather. And that's why you're making, that's one of the reasons why you're shooting for that number, or why you're counting the number of contacts. Not that the number of contacts makes a difference, but it's just nice to know how many people you've been able to reach and help in their quest for the 13 colonies. Plus, I guess, those two special stations on top of that. So that's always good. Okay, this is the Tri-City Amateur Club. Right, let me start this again. It's hot, my brain is shut off. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club with the TipsNet, open to all amateur radio operators. You do not need to be a member to participate, and of course you can just listen if you wish to. For those that would like to check in, please come now with your call sign. Okay, nothing heard, so we will continue on. This is a good test of for the Salem repeater. It's had its issues in the past, a month or so, but it seems to be working fairly well. Monday night we had the Aries check-in net, which is more off time than it is on time. Tonight it's more on than off time, and it seems to be holding up very well so far. Of course, I probably just jinxed it, but we'll see. And I think we'll go ahead and bring ourselves to the top of the list. And I'm wondering how Dave's doing with his CW and making contacts and whether he's already got his K2D check marked off. K1DCT, KC1DWR.
Well, I did pick up a couple here in between. I had the headphones on with one ear off so I could hear what was going on over here and work the station on CW, so, you know, it's a quick exchange, so it's not like you need to really think about what's being sent, concentrate on it. So so we picked up another one, and actually I think I've picked up two since this net started, so I'm at seven, so better than halfway. And yes, there's the 13 colonies is actually three bonus stations. There's the, I'll call it the William Penn station, because that's what the call sign looks like. There's the Great Britain station across the pond. And then there's a K2 Zulu. So, it'd be great to get them all, but like I said, I'm playing here and having a good time, chasing them around, switching from CW to sideband and looking around on FT8, so. I'll have to look for Delta on FT8 after the net. So that's about it. I think the propagation thing, I think we beat that dead horse pretty hard, and it still is not going to get up. K1DCT.
Alas, poor propagation horse. I knew it well. Thank you, Dave. And maybe Bob will give you a hint on what frequency he's on for FT8 a little bit later, and whether he's going to be on after the net or not. But we'll see how that goes. Another item to bring up is I am shooting to do a fox hunt on the first Saturday, August 3rd. And before that, I'm trying to figure out how what's put together to have a like a fox hunt training morning or something of that nature. For those who haven't really done fox hunting, just get together, have a known fox where we know where it is, within sight. You know, nothing, this isn't really a fox hunt, it's just a, you know, here I'm standing here, the fox is over there, do I really know how to use my equipment to point to it, and I am in my surroundings, people who have done this before, who can get, you know, give some help and guidance on it. And is that, do you think that's a worthwhile type of activity to have? And also a reminder, I'll save that for the announcements. Okay, with that we'll go to Kevin, see if he's going to resurrect the horse or if he's going to go on to new subjects. KA6PDG, KC1TWR.
Oh no, I'm going to get down off my high horse now. and Bob's right. You know, it's like, hey, let's talk about religion. And that's not a ham radio topic, but you know what I mean. It is a big venue, big field. Let's see, because I was writing notes. And my brain is just, I'm like you, except probably worse tonight. I think the idea of an easy fox, maybe before the fox hunt, a period of, 45 minutes or something, an easy fox. I don't know whether you do it within sight of you, maybe a mile away or something, and you could tell everybody where you are, and then they could do a little bit of training amongst each other. Or you're right, maybe half an hour is enough because they don't really have to go find you, they already know where you are, but they could stand in the parking lot and test some of their equipment and antennas and some of their theories. So yeah, I think that's a good idea, just half an hour before the fox hunt. Might work well. KA6PDG, back to net.
Thank you, Kevin. you've given me an idea, basically two ideas. One, to combine the events, tell everybody to, who wants to do the practice, if you will, or training half an hour early to show up half an hour early, and then the actual Fox Hunt will start off at whatever o'clock. And the other thing is, I know that there's a number of people around who like to stay home and listen to the Fox Hunt, kind of like an amateur radio voyeur, as it were, and to listen to what's going on. And occasionally they'll even make a comment in helping the hounds find the fox. And maybe I can get one of them to, if they're close enough, to actually be the practice fox. And that way I don't have to set up anything else. We'll already have somebody their own. They have their station, and off they go. So I like that idea. I think that'll work out very nicely. And that also means that people only go out once to do all of this and not two different days, because that can, especially in the busy summer, can impact people. But let's see what Bob thinks about that, about fox hunting and what have you. And August 3rd, and K1RMN, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is K1RMN. I'm up for it. I've got a few things, but I have not done it yet, so I am excited to learn how to locate the fox and the different tricks that people have for doing that. So very much want to participate in that event. I will be on FDA for most of the rest of the evening here, so hopefully if you guys are looking for a contact with 13 Colonies, you'll be able to find me. With that, let me send it back to Net Control. This is K1RMN.
Okay, very good. Sounds like we're getting more and more people interested, and that's good. And maybe Josh K0JEB will help give some instruction or advice, rather, to those that are practicing on how to find the fox. And I'm also thinking about having somebody who's going to be in the hunt just go to the end of the parking lot, plant a, have somebody stand there with a radio or what have you, because it's just like golf. It's, at least that's the way I think of it. It's the long game and the short game. And you use, even though it's in theory the same thing, you're using a club to get the, to hit the ball, use different strategies, different swings, and so forth. The same thing, you're trying to use attenuation and what have you, and signal strength to get to the fox. But there are different techniques, I think, for the long and the short game. And we're at the bottom list again, so this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. And anyone else that would like to join, this is KC, your Net Control, KC1TWR. Please call now. Okay, and with that, we're going to head towards the top of the list again. Now, Dave, it's a new subject. We buried the horse, and we dug up the next grave and discovered fox hunting. So, granted, the fox body does smell a little bit, but please ignore that. Any comments about fox hunting? K1DCT, KC1TWR.
Oh, yes, thank you. This is K1DCT. Yes, I'm anxious to get out and do a little fox hunting again now that I've got my equipment cleaned up and checked out. And the last one that I participated in, I'm not sure if that was the last one, but that occurred. But I had grabbed my stuff that had been off in the corner of the cave here for probably close to, maybe not 20 years, but 15 anyway. Been sitting over there, and I gave it a quick, 2 second checkout. Put a radio on the weather broadcast station on 162 megahertz, and gave it a quick whirl and said, "Oh yeah, this works fine." But as I discovered that some of my connectors were a little more intermittent once I was tossing it in the back seat of the car and moving on, and So since I've cleaned those up, I am anxious to get out there and go at it again. And there was a good article recently in QST about True North and Magnetic North. So if you have any questions about that, that can certainly clear up a lot of stuff. So looking forward to it. And I think this, you know, a short hunt and then maybe a long hunt, and people that maybe don't want to do the long one. But like Kevin said, you know, somebody set up, you know, even a quarter mile away, somewhere out of visible sight. You know, the visible one's kind of good because you can go like, yeah, okay. And then someone beyond that, you know, out of visible sight would be helpful, you know, to get, like you said, Tim, you know, I guess there's a long game, the short game, and the intermediate game. I mean, there's, you know, you drive off the, with your woods or your, now I guess these days, your magnesium something, and then, you know, you got your iron game going down the fairway, and then, you know, finally you come in for a putt. So that's about all I know about golf right there in 2 seconds or less. So it certainly would be good to play around, and might entice a few people, and then if they don't want to stay for the long, you know, marathon, and you know, they can decide that when the time comes. So I think good ideas, and if I got the date right, I think I'll put it in my calendar here. I think you said August 3rd is at the proposed date. Do I have that correct? Back to net, K1DCT.
Yes, you do, Dave. You have that exactly correct. Saturday, August 3rd. And not that we were thinking the same thing, but starting on page 42 in a July QST, five ways to find True North. Number one, compass method. Number two, map method. Number three, star method. Number four, shadow method. And number five, solar method. So it's a nice, comprehensive, but concise article. I had just gotten a lesson about compasses from my sister-in-law, who teaches maps and compass as a extra class over at the, it's a one-day weekend type of class over at Connecticut College. So I was reading through this saying, yep, okay, yeah, it makes sense. That's what she said. Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, I think we need fox hunting for all different kinds of levels, including the including the one that I mentioned probably about 6 months ago out in the Midwest, where somebody put up a, I think it was a Yagi style of an antenna for the fox, and every so many minutes or whatever, it would rotate a little bit, and that helps make the, you know, make it more difficult for people to find it. And as Josh mentions, K0JEB, when sometimes foxes can be situated in a place where it bounces off of, for instance, a water tower or something of that nature, makes it more difficult. But that's for the higher, the, I won't call them professional, but for the very experienced fox hunters. Let me reset. But I also want to make sure that we have, you know, fox hunting pre-101 for those people who really have never done fox hunting before, and what can be seen quite plain and simple to an experienced fox hunter can still be a bunch of magical smoke that's trying to be seen through by the new person to it. Some people can jump into fox hunting very quickly, and other people, well, some people have a talent, some people don't have a talent, but enjoy it anyway. I probably fall into the latter class. Okay, and with all that, we'll go on to Kevin. I was the long-winded one this time. KA6PDG, and this is KC1TWR.
Well, it's the quality that matters, not the quantity, and you made a number of very good points. And I'm thinking, gee, what if you, now of course, like up in Glastonbury, I think they have more complicated fox hunts, but you could always say, well, we're going to trying to concentrate on the beginners on August 3rd, but it's all in preparation for September 20th, when we're going to do a big fox hunt that's going to be very, very difficult. Anyway, just a thought. Maybe not a good one. The main points that were running around in my mind is, I think one of you mentioned home stations. Oh, yeah, Tim, you said people like to sit home and listen to the fox hunt. One thing we tried to, at one point, encourage people to do, but it was something new and different. I don't think people were used to it. And I'm thinking some of the folks who are at home listening, they're not participating because they don't have time. They've got errands to run. They've got honeydews to do. They've got picnics to go to, whatever. But maybe they have 15 minutes to hang out in the shack or play radio before they have to go about other obligations. And those home stations listening could assist the fox hunters, the mobile fox hunters. Most of us, I guess, have omnidirectional antennas, even if it's something as simple as saying, hey, I've got the fox really, really loud on the input, or he's really faint at my location. And then the ones that you might have a guy at home who says, yeah, but I built one of those Yagis a couple of years ago that the Raceon Club built with the tape measure there. And let me throw that out in the backyard. Let's see. Oh, okay. And I'll give my report to the fox hunters. And everybody kind of helps each other out. So there's one idea for home stations. I like Dave's idea, though. What about combining fox hunting and golf? How would you do that? And thought number three is just wondering. Time of day, and most fox hunts do take place, or well, the ones we've done around here tend to be around noon or early afternoon, but on a day like August 3rd, that's likely to be a very warm day, and it's a Saturday, so people don't have church things in the morning. I wonder about doing it before it gets hot, like maybe you'd start at 10 o'clock or 10:30 instead of 1 o'clock. Just an idea, doesn't much matter to me, but I do wilt when it gets real hot, I'll just warn you. K6PDG.
Oh, all very good points, Kevin. Thank you. And, probably morning would be a better time. And if people have enough advance warning, they can mark it on their calendars, make arrangements for their better halves and what have you in the family. And plus, that would then give them the whole afternoon to do whatever else they need to do family-wise or home activities. And you brought to mind something, and actually Dave did too. There's a couple of different kinds of styles of fox hunting, and I know Chuck, NE1CM, was talking about doing a fox hunt where you do one fox hunt, and once you complete it, you get the frequency and what and the rules and whatever necessary information is needed for the second fox hunt. And I know Chuck has been trying to get, and usually successfully, the hounds to work together. But I also know there are some people who prefer to just, you know, take pride in saying, I found the fox by myself, no help. So I'm also wondering if, I don't know if we'd have enough fox hunts to be able to do this, but to have a fox hunt where we say, you know, for this fox hunt, everybody is on their own. You know, there will be no collaboration between people. This is, you know, if you want that kind of a fox hunt, that's this one. And then the next fox hunt, which could be, or the first fox hunt, whichever, would be one where we encourage people to collaborate. They're not required to, but, you know, they could even make it into teams if they wanted to, although that might be a little difficult. Anyhow, there's so much variety that can be done with that. So it's similar to golf, but we'll see how that works. Okay, with all this talk about fox hunting and all this chit-chat, let's go down to Bob and see what he thinks. K1RMN, this is KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is K1RMN. I think we need to stop talking about the 800 ways we can do it and just get out there and get going. Want to learn, want to figure things out, want to fail a little bit, and want to have some success. And I think the only way to do that is to get a bunch of us together and get going. So when we have that date and when everybody's ready, sounds like a lot of fun. K1RMN, back to net.
Okay, Bob, well, you and everybody else put August 3rd, Saturday, and I will take Kevin's recommendation and say we'll do it in the morning, try and get it done before noon so everybody can then do whatever they want the rest of the day, but also do it before the heat of the day really kicks in. So that's good. Anyhow, this is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim. I'm in the city of Broughton, and I'm your net control operator for the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. All those that would like to join, please call now. Okay, we're still in the first section of the three-sectioned TipsNet. The other two sections usually go by fairly quickly, so I think, though, that with all these comments, we'll make this one the last round of the first section, not the goodbye round, because we still have the other two sections. And we'll start at the top of the list with Dave, K1DCT, and ask if he heard my verification of August 3rd and has written it into his calendar, and if morning works for him. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
This is J1DCT. Yes, I got the confirmation of the date. I will plug that into my calendar here, and now that I know it's going to be morning time, that I think Kevin made a good point. It could be in the time frame where it's Africa hot. So, and I know some people don't like that. I don't mind it myself, but I know others don't share that cold-blooded thing that I do. So, that's fine. And one thing they didn't mention in that finding true north and magnetic north, it's kind of a hodgepodge way to do it, but it works if you don't have anything else. If you wear an analog watch and you point the hour hand at the sun, the 12, you know, not azimuth-wise, azimuth-wise, not elevation, just point in that direction, the 12 will point generally south. So it gives you a decent indication. So that's about all I got. I probably spotted off enough. So that's it. Looking forward to it. K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Dave. I will have to try that. Part of my brain says, ooh, that's neat. And another part says, that'll never work. And I must resolve the situation. So I will look into that. And possibility on this part, which is we might start off the fox hunt with a meeting location at the Unicusville Diner, or maybe right across the street in one of the parking lots, just as a place where I know a group of people will be anyhow first thing in the morning. They meet there at 8 o'clock. They're done usually by 9, so that'd be a good time to start the fox hunt. So maybe we'll do that, but that's still a question mark. But I have pretty well written with ink, indelible ink in my calendar, August 3rd for the first fox hunt of the season. And we'll go to Kevin and see what additional thoughts he may have. K6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
Great minds work alike. I was thinking exactly that. And I'm hearing some crackle on the output signal of the repeater, but I don't think it's the repeater. I think it's something here locally for me. I hope so. Anyway, I hope it's not the repeater. I was going to say exactly the same thing. Have the starting point over in the Montville area somewhere, not too far from the Uncasville Diner. People encourage people to come have breakfast, and then we'll start the fox hunt at, 10:15 or 10:30. You don't know how busy the restaurant's going to be, so even 10 o'clock should be okay. I wouldn't go any later than 10:30 for a start. And that might work real well. That's all I can think of. KA6PDG, back to net.
Okay, very good. And the repeat is pretty much full quieting for me. Now, I did just start my car, so, and I can hear some kind of ignition, fire, spark plug kind of popping, cracking from my speaker as people are talking. So that's probably mine. I don't think should make it into my transmission, but who knows? If you're hearing it from everybody, then you're right, it's probably more local to you. And we'll go to Bob, K1RMN, this is KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, K1RMN. I am hearing some background noise from the repeater. Not exactly sure what it is, but it's not just you. It's it seems to be everybody. And if you're hearing some of the same from me, that would help confirm that. Let's see, 197 contacts right now, moving our way up on FT8 tonight, so I'm going to get back to that and listen to the rest of this. And again, I am looking up attenuators for my antenna setup for the fox hunt, because I know that's one of the things that will give me a hand. With that, I'll send it back to Net Control. This is K1RMN.
Okay, I heard a very slight hum in the background. I had to turn up my speaker to hear it, but other than that, for whatever reason where I am, I'm not hearing anything. Maybe there's something atmospherically happening north of me, because I'm down here, not at Eastern Point Beach today. I'm actually parked near, next to Par 4, because they had trees that I could hide the car in the shade, whereas Eastern Point Beach does not. So we'll see how that goes. Okay, I think we've pretty well finished the first section here. We're going to go to the second section, which is announcements and items of interest. And the first item that I will bring up is that tonight at 8:30 is the Aries Region 4, both north and south, DMR net, starting at 8:30 on TAC 4. So all those who would like to check in, tonight's the night. And I brought my DMR radio with me just in case, because I keep forgetting about it myself. So we'll hope for the best, prepare for the worst. Okay. Anyone that has any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest, please call now.
PDG.
Okay, Kevin, K6PDG, please proceed. This is KC1TWR.
Okay, backtracking for a quickie. It's a, I would describe it as a scratchy record sound, a needle on a scratchy record. I will make sure that you get a little 2 or 3 minute recording of it. It's showing up on both my receivers here, and then you can share that with Joe if it's helpful. And there was a question a night or two ago as to whether there was going to be a breakfast tomorrow morning at Old Times, so I do not know the answer on that, because it is the 4th of July. And I assume, Tim, that there's going to be a breakfast this Saturday at Uncas Hill Diner. I believe I might be able to attend. But the two breakfasts are always worth reminding people about. Thursdays, 7 a.m. at the Old Times Restaurant in Norwich, and Saturdays, 8 a.m. at the Uncasville Diner, Route 32 in Uncasville. Everybody's welcome. KA6PDG.
Thank you, Kevin. Very good reminders there. I, for one, will not be there tomorrow morning, but I will be there Saturday. So if things work out and you need a lift, just give me a holler. And I will leave 10 minutes early, swing by, and you can hop in as I fly by. And so quick question back to you. What's the latest on your deck and the ability to be able to put up some HF antennas?
In the interest of brevity, I'll just say it still looks like a couple more weeks. We want to wait till all the inspections have happened and that. They're tidying up out there. That being said, they haven't worked in the last 2 days, so. KA6PDG.
Okay, so hopefully Probably they've already called the inspector and they're just waiting for him to make himself available to come over for an inspection, and hopefully he'll be there, because if I seem to remember right from a previous conversation when I bumped into your landlord months ago, he was waiting, I think, for inspection of the footings, and it was a case of the... I don't know if it was a case that he didn't come that day and he had to arrange for another day or not, but I guess sometimes city officials do things like that. Okay, anyone else having any announcements or items of interest, please call now.
K1, RMN.
Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, this is K1RMN. This morning on the Underwater Sound Log net, Paul K1AFI stated that they will be having breakfast tomorrow, so I'm going to head up there myself, and because I haven't seen those guys in quite a while, and have breakfast. And I will see you folks also on Saturday. K1RMN, back to net.
Okay, very good. Tell them you're there as my replacement. How's that? No. Just go as yourself. Absolutely. Okay, with that, we'll go to the third section, which is, does anyone have any, does anyone wish to swap, sell, or looking for any amateur radio-related items? Please call now. Okay, any further check-ins before we close the net? Any last-minute check-ins, please call now. Okay, that was the last call, and I'm going to go ahead and close the net at this time. I'd like to thank all who participated in the net, Dave, Kevin, and Bob, and those that may have been listening. And the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month, which is going to be this coming Tuesday, the 9th, at the American Red Cross office at the on Route 32 in Montville, Connecticut. That's 1031, number 1031 on Route 32. The meeting starts at 7:30 and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club can be found at their website, www.tricityarc.com. That's TRICITYARC.com. We'd like to thank John, W1AN, for the use of this repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo wishing everyone a good evening and 73.